So Anthony and or Matt Essick, who is just giggling. We're just going with the Pain song to get started. Anything specific about the Rascal Flatts?
It hurts, man. It hurts.
It does.
But Essick did give me this song suggestion, so it was only right to describe the feeling.
I looked over because I was very focused on getting everything set up for the show, getting our notes in place, everything for First and 10, which we'll get to in 10 seconds. And I looked over, and Matt Essick is just standing there with headphones on and a bleep-eating grin on his face. Now that you've eaten your stuff, get out of here, Essick. Your show is over. Go home. That's what I want for you. I want you, the pain of you walking, Rascal Flatts. Anthony, hit the First and 10 thing. Maybe. Come on, computer. We have enough pain. We don't make us play the Rascal Flatts song again. Anthony's really struggling over there. Anyway, the Commanders lost. It's the first home loss of the year. That's what we're going to talk about. We'll talk about Michael Phillips coming up at 5 o'clock. And we get started with...
It's time to get the breakdown started. First up, 10 observations.
Mr. Gizai, and just boom, put it right on the ground.
It's First and 10.
So, a 28-27 loss, eh?
Number one.
First things first. I don't want to overreact to a one-point loss to a good team, so I'm not gonna. Simple as that. That team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, is very much Washington's equal. That's a good thing. That's a good team. Commanders, you're a good football team. It was a one-point game. A one-point game that had a bunch of bad calls in it, both ways. We'll talk about it. But including in that bad call, in my opinion, a first down call that... should have been made at the end of the game with Zach Ertz. That would have put Washington on the verge of field goal range. And let's say for a second they get that call. And they get another 5 yards. And then Zane Gonzalez, he gets to be the latest kicking hero, replacing Austin Seibert. And the Commanders win 30-28. How much different are we talking about today, that game? Not very differently. We shouldn't. And so just because, yes, the L hurts. Yes. It is pain in the standings. Yes, you could have entered the week against Philadelphia with an extra game in hand before you play Philadelphia. All of these things are true, but I do think it is worth saying that was a one-point football game, which they lost to another good team. And so, yeah, this loss stings, and Quinn talked about it afterwards, as did a bunch of guys on the team, and they should feel that. Because they should understand the lesson, to use Dan's language, is to say, against good teams, everything matters. But this isn't a team that's incapable of making winning plays. They've done it time and again this season. They just didn't. That's the NFL. So let's talk about the not winning plays and some of them that went down. But also, within the context, acknowledging that this is still a good football team, and that doesn't change with a one-point loss to another good football team.
Number two.
Okay, let's talk about it. Benjamin St. Juice. Here's the thing about Benjamin St. Juice. He seems to have a negative clutch gene. And that's an issue. As this game went on, watching it live and also watching it back on film and looking at his body language during the game, it felt like he was nervous after the early calls that went against him. And he had the PI on Freiermuth, and that was, it wasn't 100% of the time it gets called, but it's the correct call. Like, that was PI. He has another really great play early that's undone by the Jeremy Chinn roughing. And it just kind of has this body language of like, can I buy a break? Can I ever do anything right and be rewarded for it? Or can I never not have the bad stuff happen when I'm involved? And there is a little bit of that like nervous tick energy to him throughout parts of this game. I think he really settled in the middle where he was just solid in coverage. He was physical against the run, like all that kind of stuff. But this is a guy that every time he makes a play, he looks around to see if there's a flag. He literally doesn't know where the line is, not because he doesn't intellectually understand what is pass interference but what is not, but it's because he's called for it so frequently, especially the last couple of weeks, that like he some of those were bad calls, and that thus he doesn't know what he can and can't do. And all these crews call it differently. So sometimes you can get away with more, sometimes less. But this is also true. What I'm about to say is really true. And don't get super mad before I get done saying all the things I have to say. But down in, down out, he's their best cornerback. He had some nice plays on the ball in this game. He has been an incredibly sure tackler this season. He's also in the right spot that prevents a bunch of throws. The idea that the only good corners are the ones who get thrown at and force incompletions or interceptions is absurd on its face. Really great coverage is so sticky that the quarterback doesn't even bother throwing it in the first place. And there's no way to tally in the statistics for the guy played perfect coverage and the QB didn't bother throwing it and say quarterback rating against. But, there is clearly a huge problem when the ball is thrown his way. And this and the negative clutch gene come together in the 3rd and 9 and a couple of other big spots yesterday. And it's big spots where other teams are clearly comfortable taking the risk of throwing at him, where his lack of ball skills and his reputation for PIs means that that is a pretty low risk, high reward endeavor for them. And I do think it is fair at this point to ask, not necessarily a question about Benjamin, because we kind of know who he is. But why does this staff keep putting him in that spot? A staff, by the way, that's doing a lot right. I'm not saying this is a bunch of dum-dums. This group is fantastic, and they're very good coaching defensive backs. But from a play call standpoint, we ask these things and we're told, like, we ask them, hey, what about safety help? And I asked Quinn yesterday at the podium, and he's basically like, well, sometimes you have to take your chances in man coverage. And my question that I've still never in 10 years of covering the NFL had a great answer told to me to is, why? Why do you have to take your chances in man coverage? We've seen that movie before. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Benjamin St. Juice is a good zone corner. That is a very specific label, but he is a good zone corner. In the most high leverage of spots, stop asking him to play man-to-man. And if that means in man situations when Marshawn Lattimore is ready, you play Mike Sainristil and Marshawn Lattimore, okay, fine. I think that's probably not the right move because I don't think that Sainristil is better than St. Juice, and there's a lot of evidence in yesterday's game, not to mention other games, that is true. PFF grades, they're not even close, and Noah Igbinoghene is literally the worst-graded regular player on the defense yesterday. But Mikey competes his face off, and in man-to-man situations in a big spot, I'd probably just take my chances with that versus Benjamin St. Juice and the analysis by paralysis that seems to go on in his head. But the problem for Benjamin is when he gets up and, like, this dude is so accountable. He doesn't shy away from the tough questions. He answers for it. He says the right thing. He understands. He's a stand-up guy. And that is worth something on a human level. And humanity is way more important than football in the long run. But in the short term, and talking about the football, saying, next time I'll do better, when we've had previous times and this is the next time, kind of winds up ringing hollow when the next time the same thing keeps happening. And so eventually, as a staff, you have one of two choices. You can stop putting him in that position by calling something different, especially against a Pittsburgh team that wants to do the exact thing that they did, or you can put another guy in that position, and they don't have the switch guy option available until Lattimore is healthy. And that's just the reality of the situation, the way I see it, and I've yet to been told something that makes me change my mind on that. I'm open-minded because these guys are really smart and they're good play callers, and Quinn's a great play caller, and they've been around the league a long time. But I have yet to been told something that makes me change my mind on this, because at the end of the day, they lost on Pittsburgh's terms. If you're gonna beat me, I want to lose on my terms. I made you do the thing that I didn't think you were good at, and you proved me wrong. Congratulations. I did my thing, you did your thing was better. To lose to them on a fade ball with no safety help in a man-to-man situation. Yes, Benjamin played it poorly, but I also don't get why he's in that position, why Russ even has the thought to throw that thing in the first place. And by the way, what a sick throw by Wilson. There's a couple, the couple that he hits in this game, and he missed a lot of them. The couple that he hits, we're talking balls within 2 yards of the sideline, vertically dropping out of the sky. It is ridiculous, some of the stuff that Wilson did in this game on the big plays. We're down to down. He wasn't very good. But, man, to just keep on keeping on the same way when we've seen that movie before really grinds my gears. Again, I'm not going to overreact on the whole of what it means for the football team, but this is something on a more micro level that drives me absolutely up a wall. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, the rest of our first and 10, including that play by St. Juice, yeah, that definitely contributes to them losing the game. But there was a drive earlier that I think was an even bigger, more emblematic issue in this game. We'll talk about it and the rest of what we saw from the offense next.